I will tell you about my life and the life of my father, about my family, about my father's passing, about his work in the world beyond, about his rise and a little about myself. We were a family with 5 siblings. We were always very afraid of our father. He was quick-tempered, drank and looked after his family very poorly. So we had constant discord in the house. When our father came home drunk, he beat our mother and us children. We always fled from him, and so did our mother. When he came home late in the evening, he started to argue with mother and she always fled to our room. Then the father made noise and started to hit us too. So we didn't have a nice life and didn't have good memories of our father. I was sick and I was told that I wouldn't live long, but I didn't care. I was happy to be able to leave this world and my mother said to me, "If you are in heaven, please put in a good word for our father too, so that he doesn't bother us anymore. If he also enters the spiritual world before the rest of us, you should take care of him." We had been raised religiously and we were all focused on God, except for our father. Suddenly our father fell ill and died. We didn't feel great sadness when we lost our father. All of our siblings had to work together for our daily bread. However, we knew that we had a lot to pray for him and we did that. We had no idea what the future world would really be like. We believed that there was a heaven and that life there must be beautiful, but we had no idea what this heaven would be like. Now it was just that I was getting sicker and sicker. But I was looking forward to dying. I was not attached to life, but my siblings and my mother were very sad. I tried to comfort them myself and I promised them that when I was in heaven I would try to do something for my father, because we suspected that he would definitely not be well. Then the time had come, I had said goodbye to this world and opened my eyes to the spiritual world. The first to come to me was my grandmother on my mother's side, whom I had loved especially. She had died a few years earlier, but we children had all known this grandmother as Hip. Now she stood there in front of me and she greeted me, hugged me and showed great joy. Then she said, "You can stay with me. I live in beautiful surroundings and have a beautiful house. It is much nicer with me than on earth, where I lived and where you lived. You know, heaven is so beautiful. People have no idea about it. But heaven also has its other sides, where it is not beautiful. Those who have not lived properly and who have not believed in God go there." She lowered her eyes wistfully and said, "Father is not doing so well either. I had suspected that." And then she said to me, "We will visit him then and we will help him too if it is possible or if we are allowed to." When I was greeted in the spiritual world, not only was my grandmother standing in front of me, but I also saw acquaintances who had lived very close to us, and they also greeted me with joy. Other relatives were also there, but also very beautiful, noble beings, and my grandmother said to me, "They are angels of God. Just wait a little longer, they will come to you and they will greet you. They will give us a little time so that we can chat together. But then they will come to you and talk to you too." Actually, I was a little afraid, although I did not have the feeling that I had done anything seriously wrong in my life, but this new world had made a big impression on me, and these beings, of which my grandmother said were angels, looked so wonderful, so noble, but also very strict at the same time. Then I asked my grandmother quietly, "Should I be afraid of them?" She smiled and said, "Oh, for heaven's sake. What evil have you done in your younger years? You don't need to be afraid. It won't be long before they will come to you." She wanted to give me some news from those friends who I also knew but who were not here, and she wanted to explain to me in brief how they were doing and where they lived. But I didn't really listen. I was still dazed and felt sleepy and tired. My grandmother probably saw that, and she said, "Come, we are now going to go to these angels, and then I will accompany you to my house, because I was told that you can stay with me. I have prepared everything for you. I have made the bed nice. You can rest, and then, when you have rested, we will visit Father." So we went to these beautiful figures. They called me by name, greeted me and welcomed me to the new world. They said that they had work for me too and that this new world would certainly make a great impression on me, because it was very different from the world I had left behind. The work I had to do was also of a completely different kind. Smiling, they said, even in the kingdom of heaven one is not idle. Even in the kingdom of heaven there is all kinds of work to be done. I had already suspected this, because my grandmother had whispered something to me when she greeted me, saying that this new life was not what people imagined it to be. Even in heaven you have to work and it would not be good if no one worked. Well, I was of course happy about this greeting and I did not hear any particular reproaches. These beautiful figures told me that I should now withdraw with my grandmother and that they would look after me again later and then give me a job. I should also look around and familiarize myself with this new world. Then they said a word of warning, you should not long for the world that lies behind you. Leave it as it is. Don't worry about the past anymore, instead strive towards the new time, the new life. I did not really understand these words as said, I felt too tired and sleepy. But my grandmother explained everything to me clearly afterwards. We walked up a path to a hill and I came to my grandmother's house. It really was a very beautiful house. You could compare it to a country house that you see people have in the world. It had a big garden and was surrounded by meadows, forests and large areas. And that was supposed to be my new world now? I had never lived in such a beautiful house in my previous life and so I felt very rich and noble to be allowed to live in such a beautiful house. When I was led into the house, I had to admire everything that adorned these rooms and I had to touch everything despite my tiredness. I had to keep saying, is it possible? Do you have such things here and who makes them? Does it have to be made or does it only come about through a word from God and these things are there? My grandmother warned me and replied, go to sleep now. You should rest. Afterwards you will understand and comprehend everything much better. So I lay down on the bed she had prepared for me. There were flowers in these rooms, and I had to express my amazement at that too. But now I wanted to sleep. I wanted to rest. So I fell asleep. My grandmother was awake at my side, and it must have been she who woke me up again. When I opened my eyes, I felt fresh and happy. We immediately started talking, and I wanted to know more about the new life. I besieged my grandmother. I wanted to know so much, but she warned me and said, you shouldn't ask so many questions right from the start, just slowly, slowly. First you should drink something that will strengthen you. And then we will begin, and I will explain to you what I have experienced and what I know. They gave me a vessel with a delicious drink. I didn't really know what it was. Here, too, I had to ask, what is that you are giving me to drink? Is that needed in heaven? Grandmother answered, just think how lonely and how dull life would be here if you didn't have joys and sometimes something precious to eat and drink. That too exists. You'll be amazed at all the things you have here. My grandmother then explained to me, you know, I think it's necessary that we go and greet your father. You know, he can't find his way. He knows that you're here, but he wasn't allowed to come and greet you. His way had been blocked. Now let's go to him. My grandmother knew the way to him. We had to go down, down, and down, which means we were floating down. And the deeper we went, the more lonely and desolate it became. I didn't like the environment in which my father was supposed to live. It was so gloomy and didn't have the cheerful colors that it had at home. Everything was so dark and as if shrouded in fog. Exactly as described in Oscar Busch's books from more than 100 years ago and also in this book from the same time, which came long before the ones we are reading here via Beatrice Brunner, I had to ask, really, does my father have to be there? On the other hand, it was quite clear to me, because I knew about the guilt that my father had brought upon himself. My grandmother consoled me and said, it is God's will. Everything is according to the law. He deserves it so much. Now we looked for him. When we were there in this plane, a luminous being came towards us. This being had broken through the fog with its light and illuminated the surroundings so that we could see much better. Grandmother said somewhat quietly, "That is an angel, we will ask him." She went up to him with me and explained our request to him. The angel told us that of course the father was not there, as he had just left work as usual. So where is he, where can he go? I asked, because I didn't know, but my grandmother did, and she said, "Can't you guess where he is?" I have no idea, I had to answer. And now my grandmother wanted to show me the way. She was allowed to walk this path with me. She had to go down even further, into another world. We walked through a thick fog until we reached our old house, where I had lived with my father, my siblings and my mother. I knew this house very well, every corner, everything. And here I found my father. He wandered around the house as if he was looking for something. I saw him and saw him acting as if he were still in a human body. His appearance was so similar to his former form. I saw that he was still so tied to the house, to the environment, and yet I knew about his transgressions. Grandmother explained it to me and said, "Do you know why my father still looks as if he were a human being? There is still so much about him that is burdensome. There is still so much impurity in his soul that he has indeed laid aside his earthly body, but his spiritual body is so overshadowed by his earthly body that you still recognize the father as he once was. All guilt hangs on him and has made him what he is now, a burdened, suffering spirit." Suddenly father saw me and he came towards us. He could not speak. He knelt down in front of us and tried to put his arms around our feet and asked us for forgiveness. We should forgive him. And I asked him to stand up. He did not have to kneel down in front of me. But he said, "I must do it, as often and as long as it takes, until God has forgiven me of all my guilt." And then I had to answer him, "You have not only burdened yourself with me. You have also beaten our mother, but she has forgiven you." "No," he said, "that is not true. She says she has forgiven, but God has not forgiven me, and so she has not really forgiven me either. And I have to go to her again and again, and I have to kneel down before her again and again and ask her again and again to forgive me." And grandmother said to him, "It is pointless what you are doing. Your wife does not hear you when you ask for forgiveness. She is a human being. She does not feel anything, even if you hold her by the feet." He replied that he knew this very well, but that he had to do this now. And he did the same with all my siblings. If he met one of my siblings, he knelt down before them, held them by the feet and asked for forgiveness. But my siblings had not seen or felt their father either. And he said, "That is the sad thing, that they do not see you. You have so much to say to them, and they hear nothing and see nothing." Then he began to complain that it was not fair that one could not see or hear him, that the others could not notice if one was of goodwill and asked for forgiveness. And so we told him that it would be much better for him if he now carried out the work that had been assigned to him in the spiritual world, that was where he belonged, among the creative and upward striving spirits. That was where he should go. He answered us that he did not like the work, it was too strenuous for him and he felt that it was making him ill. Therefore he preferred to go to his former house and considered it more sensible to ask for forgiveness from them, because he would do this until God had mercy on him. We then had to explain it to him as best we could and said, "Yes, God will certainly have mercy on you. But does he have mercy because you are kneeling here before those you once tormented so much? We don't believe that. There is certainly another path of atonement than the one you are now taking." He did not listen to us and always claimed to stay until the last of his family had entered the spiritual world. Then he answered me that he was not allowed to be there when I was received. They had refused him and said to him, "You must first do a few things for him before he comes to meet you." And then we made it clear to him that it would be much better to do what the angels had ordered him to do. And they had ordered him to work. And this work was a bit hard. We then got so far that we took the father with us into his world, in which he had to live, into this darkness. We went to the angel whom we had already met here, asked him for help and asked him, "Where is the workplace?" He understood us, called the father by name and reprimanded him for always leaving his work. But Father did not remain silent. He answered this Spirit of God and told him that he would work if he had better, more pleasant work, but this work would only make him sicker. And the Spirit of God replied, No, this work will not make you sick, but will make you healthy. My father, however, claimed that his mental limbs ached during this work. So we were to see for ourselves where our father was allowed to work and where he was allowed to live. We were first shown his apartment. I think the word apartment is not the right term. It saddened me greatly to see this, because I had the beautiful, very beautiful house in front of my eyes in which I now lived with my grandmother. My father had a house that was only about 2 meters high. Within this room you could take a few steps forward and a few steps sideways. There was house next to house or building next to building. They looked dilapidated and were all so unkempt and so dirty. There was a whole row, we didn't see the end of it, one building stood next to the other. You could enter on the ground floor, and one building was, as I said, only about 2 meters high. It made me sad to know that my father lived here. I went into this room because I wanted to see what it looked like inside. It had only a bed and nothing else, no pillows, nothing, just a board, slightly raised from the ground, that was all, no table, no chair, nothing at all. And I thought again of the beautiful house in which I was allowed to live, with all the beautiful things that were there. We were then led to the work site. It was a pit, and the ground seemed so wet and muddy. My father had to work in this pit. He walked ahead of us and complained, Look at what they expect of me and the others. And that is supposed to be in the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of heaven you still have to work. Yes, he was still mocking it. He had not yet realized the situation, how deeply in debt he was. The angel asked him to start his work and he recommended that we wait there above the pit. He explained to us what work my father had to do. My father disappeared into this pit and the angel said, Look, there on the other side, on a hill, there are stones, large, medium and small. All of these stones were now dug out of this pit by these beings, transported there and sorted exactly according to their size. They must have taken these stones out of the mud of this pit partly with tools and partly with their hands. So we saw this, my father's work, which was certainly hard. And so he complained about it. The angel then gave us the instruction to say goodbye and return to our world. He said what we could do for our father, visit him from time to time, bring him comfort and warn him not to always return to the house on earth, as this was pointless and he was just paying off his guilt by working and atoning in the spiritual world. Then the angel also told us that my father did not have to work the whole time, because they were all being taught God's plan of salvation, and the angel pointed to those who did the same work, and the path of ascent was being explained to them. And so we returned. We floated through or broke through this fog and then stood in front of the beautiful house again. On the one hand, I was so happy to be able to live in such a beautiful place, as I had never known in my lifetime. But my grandmother said, You know, we have to work too, but now we have additional work with your father. We have to try to make his way up easier. And we will go down to him as often as we can, bring him comfort and encourage him so that he can manage to do his work. We ourselves were allowed to do some nice work between these visits. We also had to receive further instructions. I myself was so ignorant of these divine laws. Angels came to our house and stayed with us as guests, often for a long time, and so we could not start our work, but they taught us. It seemed wonderful to me and my grandmother, when we would have known these things that were explained to us a long time ago. So we went back to the Father. We had to do it many times, to break through the fog and cheer up the Father. We also had to warn him not to keep returning to earth because it was pointless. And we said to him, Your family are praying for you. What do you want? You can't ask for more. It is up to you to improve your spiritual life now. That took quite a long time, but we were able to notice this inner change. The father became more docile and now he stopped going to his former house and to his relatives. Other acquaintances and friends also entered the spiritual world, but my father was never allowed to greet them. A brother also came, and my father was not allowed to be there either. When my mother came, however, he was fetched. He was allowed to greet her, but very soon he was separated from her again. It was to be my grandmother's and my job to look after my father. So we often went to him and were delighted to see that he had changed. We then started a conversation with the leading spirit who was overseeing everything and asked him to remember this father with love and to have a benevolent attitude towards him. We wanted to say to him, "Don't hold the guilt against him as he actually deserves." But this spirit of God answered us that everything was according to God's law and that his love was great, not just for his father but for all those who were suffering and in distress. We could understand it. But we were happy when we were told, "It won't be long now before my father can move up a level." So we wanted to be there for this transition to this other level. We wanted to be happy with him. We went with the Spirit of God and accompanied my father out of the darkness into a new plane. That plane, level still had its fog, but no longer had the mud, but was dry spiritual earth. There he had to do the same work, but it no longer seemed so difficult. And the spiritual material that had to be extracted from those pits was, as he said, no longer so difficult either. This new work was more pleasant for him. He explained to us that he liked doing it and would have been happy if he had been allowed to do such work right from the start. But he also immediately explained that he now understood that he should not have been given better work. He had realized that he himself had carried a great burden and that it was this burden that was so important to get free from. Because he had changed through his inner transformation, his condition and his appearance had also changed. He no longer looked as human as he had when he was human, but had now taken on the appearance that other spirits had. He had left behind what had weighed on him so much. These many memories, this great guilt, seems to have partly fallen away from him. And so he looked much better in this new world. This had to do with his spiritual, inner transformation. Now he seemed to be content, but he was still striving for higher things. He was no longer so sad and explained to us, "I am very curious to see what work I will be allowed to do later." Because he had been taught and he knew that he would not have to work in a pit like this all the time. He had worked his way out of the mud and was allowed to do the same work in a more pleasant, easier way. So we went to him again and spoke to him and cheered him up. Then he began to change more and more. He had become insightful as soon as he converted. He wanted to ask everyone for forgiveness, but that alone was not enough and the change had not been completed. The change had to come from within. And now he also had a different relationship with his spirit brothers and sisters. He was no longer this rough, unfeeling being, but he felt something for others. He showed goodwill towards others. And so his change had taken place more and more for his own good. After a certain time we were able to receive the news that he could move up a level again. So we went back excitedly and fetched him. To make us happy, we were allowed to take flowers and branches from bushes from our gardens, and we brought these flowers and branches to his house, to the room in which he was now allowed to live. Now things looked completely different. He really lived in a house. It was no longer covered and shrouded in fog, but everything was clearly visible, even if not colorful. But everything seemed clean and orderly. He was to do his new job. He himself said to us, "I am amazed at the work I will be doing." He did express his amazement at times that one could not stop working, that heaven was beautiful enough and that God's power was so great that working was superfluous. He could not yet understand why one had to work. We were then allowed to take a look into his workshop. He had left the pit and, when he moved to the higher level, he entered a spiritual workshop. In this workshop he had to work with spiritual glass, exactly to the size that was prescribed. This spiritual glass had to have a use, because it was led away from him to another workshop, a workshop that was again a few levels higher. We looked at the work that was being carried out by those spiritual brothers and sisters there. They painted the glass in the most beautiful colors. They painted figures on this glass and put colored glass together to form a structure. It was a very large workshop, and great art prevailed here. So my grandmother and I were allowed to go through these workshops and admire them. Everything we saw, all the news, we brought to father, and we told him what was being done with what he was now working on. Our father was so happy. He had taken a big step from his entry into the spiritual world, when he had to work in this mine, to this workshop. He had changed more and more and gained more and more understanding for his spirit brothers and sisters. Because that was how they were all tested, you had to talk to the others, you had to live together with them. Only in spiritual coexistence can you prove whether you have really improved, whether you are living a better life than when you were in human clothing. Greater goodwill, greater understanding and love, honesty, all of this should now be expressed and take root in the innermost part of the soul. This is how we accompanied our father. At first, progress was slow, but later his ascent was faster. When he already had an insight, it was easier for him to ascend. Grandmother and I still live in the beautiful house. We are also given a task. We too have the opportunity to exchange this beautiful house for an even more magnificent house. But we were told that we could not be compared with those who were in these lowest stages, who had to be encouraged so that they did not have to stay in the same place, in these lower stages of distress, for too long. As soon as a spirit was of good will, they wanted to offer him a hand to ascend, but the time of purification lasted as long as God had determined for the individual. That means that the higher spirits determine how long one has to live in distress. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I have told you about my father's life and his rise. We come together again and again, and we bring our news, our experiences that we have with the spirits of God, to those who have no idea and no connection to this high, beautiful spiritual world. So I have tried to give you an insight into the rise of a soul. So may God give you the strength to align your life according to his will. May you all look forward to the world to come, because there are certainly spiritual brothers and sisters there who will prepare the home for you, just as they did for me. Greetings. Joseph, greetings. Dear brothers and sisters, if you have any questions that are related to what has been said, I am ready to answer them. Dear Joseph, can you say something else about the use of these spiritual stones that were mined from the pit? Joseph, yes. That is also used for buildings. Dear Joseph, how should we imagine this? Over what period of time did this ascension last? Joseph, 150 years. Are there any other questions? Is there always such a thick fog in these deep spheres? Is there perhaps fog from one sphere to the next that must be broken through? Joseph, yes, that is usually the case, because the light is withdrawn. Dear Joseph, Alfred did not say anything more about the help of the spirit's wife during his ascension. Did she help later too? Joseph, yes, they probably got together later. It can be assumed that the grandmother, as in all other cases, looked very young again. Joseph, yes. It would also be interesting to find out something about the atmosphere, the light in which they lived. Are there many colors? Joseph, no. I would like to compare it to a bright light like you have. But this light can be made colorful. Dear Joseph, was this daughter, this Elfriede, standing with her father in a certain relationship from earlier times? Joseph, I can't say. As far as I can tell, there is no spiritual connection. Well, then I'll go and withdraw into my world again and leave you to the blessing and protection of God. God bless you. Report of the ascending spirit being Elfriede and answers to questions from spirit teacher Joseph by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Munchhaldenstrasse, Zurich. Original, tape recording. Headline, next case. December 7, 1966. Erica surprised by awakening in the world beyond. Experiences of a pious but partly unloving teacher in an orphanage. Control spirit. God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, a spirit sister is speaking to you by the name of Erica. May the blessing of God permeate you. God bless you. Erica, God bless you. Dear brothers and sisters, My name is Erica. In my human life I had my job in an orphanage. I shared responsibility for the upbringing of these orphans. We all lived a very religious life, which means that we met several times during the day to pray.